Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 175 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today our show will take you to the lucky country, the country where the inhabitants with distinctive multicultural backgrounds have developed a positive can-do attitude. I'm speaking to you from Australia. On the last weekend in January, we celebrated Australia Day. In our first category, Absolutely Immigrated, I interviewed Vivian in Sydney about her cultural roots in Europe.
Because Dad had a strong accent, we would talk about the roots in Ireland. Uncle Jim used to say we were princes of Ireland.
In the category Absolutely Aussie, I asked three colleagues from the university about patriotic things to do on Australia Day.
But one of the finest things that I love is organizing barbecues on the beach with a glass of beer. What more we could expect?
In our third category, Absolutely Aboriginal, I asked Wayne how Australian society's attitude to the history of the first owners, Aborigines and Torres Strait Islanders, has changed over the years.
So you'll see a lot more Aboriginal art in a museum, whereas before you wouldn't. There's these Aboriginal bands, which are quite popular. There's a more Aboriginal presence.
In our fourth category, Absolutely Multicultural, I had the privilege to listen to a speech of Ita Butrose, the Australian of the year 2013, when she praised the Australian approach to multiculturalism.
We have immigrants from more than 170 countries now calling Australia home and bringing to our island continent their cultures, knowledge and skills, all of which have been to Australia's gain.
In our last category, Absolutely Original, I would like to introduce you to a real original who was the first person I met in a tent at the official Australia Day celebration in Noosa.
Well, I'm actually a bush poet, but I'm a fair dinkum Australian too.
Okay.
I love Australia, and Australia Day is always celebrated on the 26th of January.
But let us rewind a little bit and move down to New South Wales just after Christmas. In my first category, Absolutely Immigrated, I'm talking to two typical Australians whose ancestors came over from Europe. I met Vivian and Wayne in Sydney Harbour over coffee. And with a beautiful view on the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, at that moment, I wished we had a video podcast so I could have shared with you a perfect hot summer morning in late December.
I'm Vivian and I'm a school teacher. I'm teaching English as a second language to children who are 5, 6, 7 and 8, which I love.
I'm Wayne. I'm a mechanical engineer, work for a group of consulting engineers, and I guess I'm third or fourth generation Australian. My great or great-great-grandfather who came out on a windjammer from Sweden. So that's sort of where our Swedish heritage comes from. One of the family traced that back about 200 years in Sweden. My great-grandfather was, I understand, a glassblower.
Oh, wow.
So he found work doing glassblowing work in what would have been the early days of Australian history. Mm-hmm. In other branches, so the female branch of the family was Whitfield, the maker of the Whitfield rifle. So there's sort of a bit of a mix. You know, apparently we owned breweries and we did all sorts of things. There's probably a convict there somewhere as well.
Okay. How about your ancestry?
My father was born in Scotland, but his family were from Ireland. He came out as a mariner in the 50s and met and married my mother. My mum is the daughter of a German immigrant, I think was second generation.
So not so long ago then?
No. Mm-hmm. So my grandfather was a first generation Australian. They were working with sugarcane, and also my grandfather was working with stock, with sheep and cattle.
Now, in your families, is that a topic, or is that the distant past and they've put it behind them?
My mother has always, she's proud of her German heritage, and she does talk about that. She knows where in Germany the family came from.
Okay.
Dad, well, because Dad had a strong accent, we would talk about the roots in Ireland. Uncle Jim used to say we were princes of Ireland. So yeah, I've had a strong connection.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No, I don't speak German. I would love to.
Okay.
One day, maybe I will. I visited Germany and I loved it, and I've also visited Ireland and Scotland and would love to go back. Knowing another language is very helpful for your brain, and so it would be good to to know another language.
Okay, so your families have settled in Australia, and you consider yourselves as Australians, obviously. So what makes an Australian Australian? What is it?
Interesting question. I think going back, say, 50 years, we were fairly dinky-dye Australians. We loved our football and meat pies and drinking beer and our sport, having a barbecue. That's a big part of our culture. Also getting out in the outdoors like we are today, going to the beach. I think that's also very Australian.
Now, as this seems to be a good question, I thought I should stay with that question, and 3 weeks later, I left New South Wales and was back on the Sunshine Coast. Let us see whether in Queensland, being Australian is also about football, meat pies and barbecues. In our category Absolutely Aussie, I asked some colleagues from the university how they were planning to celebrate Australia Day. Bishnu told us that when he first moved to Australia, he did not really like eating lamb. But now it has turned into his favorite dish. Talk about successful integration.
We used to organize barbecue. Unfortunately, this time looks like we are going to miss barbecue, but I don't want to miss my lamb.
Okay, so lamb is important.
Well, the thing is, I've been in Australia for 22 years, and on television there is somebody called Sam Kekobich. Well, he always talks about lamb. And then, in the beginning, when I got here, it took me a few years to get used to eating lamb.
Right.
But then these days, lamb has been one of my favorite dishes. Even barbecue, this was new. But one of the finest things that I love is organizing barbecues on the beach with a glass of beer. What more we could expect?
What are you planning?
The last time, I think we went to a barbecue at the local botanical gardens.
Okay.
And that was quite nice. And
I just stop you? Are you a real Aussie, or have you moved here as well?
No, I kind of am a real Aussie.
Okay.
I think so. Unless my parents are lying.
So what are the patriotic things to do on that day?
Well, patriotic things, they always have an Australia Day celebration or gathering. So every little town has their own little celebration, and they have parades, light horse. Sometimes they have the light horse, they have the scouts and the girl guides.
Horses
and
in the street.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
And they have the pony clubs, and they have people dressed up, like the local schools might have their kids dressed up as swagmen. There's something Australian, koalas and all that sort of thing. So it's kind of fun. The muse, the bands, all the local bands come.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, you are here on the Sunshine Coast as a visitor, as a visiting academic. Any plans for Australia Day?
No, we don't have any concrete plans, but usually we go to the beach and look what's happening and hope there will be something we can take part on.
I'm sure you will see a lot of flags on that day. In my local supermarket, for example, you could buy board shorts with the Australian flag on it and singlets and everything. So maybe you need to go to the supermarket.
We did it already, and we bought some coolers. They are very important here. You know, the coolers for keeping your beer cold, and that's one of the most important things, and we want to use it on this day, of course.
Now, there has always been a little bit of a controversy, and should we celebrate Australia Day in the old-fashioned patriotic way? What do you think about these discussions? Have you heard those?
Yeah, well, I have heard some of them in the media, but to be honest with you, I didn't take much note of it.
Okay.
I think the big controversy is it looking after indigenous people too? Because this, for some of them, was the day in which they were conquered. Right. So, you know, is Australia Day from the perspective of the British colonization, or is it from the native people?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's...
Okay. Can you explain to our listeners what the apology is about?
It was good because it was something that came from the Prime Minister of Australia, and it was basically apologizing for the past treatment of the Aboriginal people, because in the earlier days, before people knew better, they had no or limited respect for Aboriginal people. It varied. I mean, my family had Aboriginal people working and living with them on the farms, and my mother in particular has always had a huge respect for Aboriginal people, and she was actually almost brought up by Aboriginal people.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
She lived with her parents, but she spent a lot of time with the Aboriginal people on the farm. So, but then other people that didn't get close to them, or didn't get to know them well, of course, made assumptions that, you know, they weren't intelligent, which is absolutely ridiculous. They're people like us. I mean, people are people, no matter what race or religion or whatever. So,
in our next category, absolutely Aboriginal, I'm following up this topic of the first owners of the land and asked how the attitudes of ordinary Australians towards Aborigines and Torres Strait Islanders have changed over the years in society and in education.
I think we're also a bit more conscious of the fact that we probably didn't treat the Aborigines very well in past years, as a part of that whole, you know, English conquering the country type thing. You know, people are more interested in that history and are a bit more open. So you'll see a lot more Aboriginal art in a museum, whereas before you wouldn't. There's Aboriginal bands, which are quite popular. There's a more Aboriginal presence. I think also we are much better now in terms of the government and the general population in trying to allow natural Aboriginal communities to stay as natural Aboriginal communities in the outback, and not try to turn them into white people. Just let them live the way that they wish to live, and if they need some medical assistance or whatever, then provide that. Which is sort of generally a bit better at that nowadays.
Now, you work in education. Do you give special attention perhaps to Aboriginal children?
Children who speak Aboriginal dialects are treated as English as a second language children. We've changed our English as a second language, so it's not ESL anymore, it's English as a second language or dialect. When we have meetings, we acknowledge the Aboriginal elders and the Aboriginal past.
Can you explain that to us? What do you do?
Well, we just say we acknowledge the Aboriginal elders past and present of the land, who were the elders of the land that we're now sitting on.
Right. So you acknowledge that we are actually meeting in a place which belonged to the Aboriginal
people.
Yes.
We just start our meetings with that, the kindergarten concert, the usual Monday assembly, and each year we have a cultural day where we celebrate all the cultures of the children at the school, and we always try to make sure that there's an Aboriginal component to that.
You're listening to Absolutely Intercultural, and my name is Laurent Borgmann, and I think this is the perfect point at which we should look at the Australian institution that plays an important role during the celebration of Australia Day. Every year, the Australian of the Year is elected, and this person will give important public speeches during that year. In our fourth category, Absolutely Multicultural, I was fortunate enough to be able to listen to the speech of the outgoing Australian of the Year, talking about attitudes to Aboriginals and to multiculturalism in general. You could really see on Ita Butros's face how happy she is that her ancestors came over to Australia in the 1850s.
We have immigrants from more than 170 countries now calling Australia home and bringing to our island continent their cultures, knowledge and skills, all of which have been to Australia's gain. Our Aborigines are one of the world's oldest peoples, and with all the other people who make up our population, we are a fascinating, complex society, a unique mixture of old and new. Other nations look at the way we get on with each other and marvel how we've done it. But we have. We are an excellent model for the future, for other nations to follow. We are not perfect, but Australia is one of the best integrated multicultural societies in the world. Many people from other countries have prospered through the opportunities Australia has given them and have successfully embraced the Australian way of life. Indeed, the very first Buttrose, William Buttrose, came to Australia with his wife and six children from Scotland in 1852 in search of a new life, and I am so glad he did. In his short history of Australia, Manning Clark concluded, "Australians have liberated themselves from being second-rate Europeans. Our aim should be to create a society in which we would want to live if we didn't know in advance whether we would be rich or poor, healthy or ill, whether we might have a disability or not, a society that marries compassion with a can-do attitude."
And so, on the 26th of January, I visited Australia Day in Noosa, Queensland, in search of this can-do attitude. I did not have to search long because the first person I met, an elderly entertainer and former farmer, explained to me in his own words what the Australian ideas of can-do and the lucky country are all about for him. I've called this category absolutely original, and I'm taking you to the middle of Australia Day celebrations in Noosa.
Well, I'm actually a bush power, but I'm a fair dinkum Australian too. I love Australia, and Australia Day is always celebrated on the 26th of January, and that was the main day when our federation was held. We become a federation, we had our own flag and all that sort of thing.
Now, what does it look like to celebrate Australia Day? What is important about Australia Day?
I guess to me it's that everyone is happy. And I always say Australians can do anything if they really try. If you really try, you can do it.
Now, in your own life, have you had situations where you had to prove to be strong and to make it happen?
Well, look, I'd like to write a book about luck. I think I've been very lucky. Okay. In lots of times in life. Mm-hmm. I'm from a little town called Bralabar, probably population 200 people. Okay. But I bought a farm there when I was a teenager. Borrowed most of the money, but anyway, it turned out a very good success. I did go to the Rockhampton Boys Grammar School as a boarder, and I did a lot of athletics and swimming.
Okay.
And in 1956, I thought I might have made the Olympic team as a 17-year-old long jumper.
Wow.
But I didn't. But the fellow who was coaching me was a high jumper, Chilla Porter. And he made the team, and he talked me into going down with him. Well, I got into the Olympic Village, and I had a run with John Landy and Vladimir Kutz, and it was just so marvellous for a 17-year-old kid.
Okay, yeah. Well, that sounds really good. Well, actually, I think sometimes Australia is called the lucky country, isn't it? So what is this luck about, if you want to write a book about it?
Yeah, I've had so many lucky things. For instance, my father won a foot race in Gunnedah and won a beautiful medal, and my wife wears it round her neck. And we went to Norfolk Island about 4 years ago, and she lost it, and she was very upset. But we happened to be in the chemist shop, and I was just telling the chemist, and he said, "Look, just go to the radio station and put it over there. Nobody loses anything on Norfolk Island." Okay. And within 2 hours, somebody, we had it back.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, apart from the lucky moments, did you also have serious moments in your life where life really looked very difficult for you, where perhaps you had to make difficult decisions?
Mainly on the farm, and mainly in Dorothea McKellar's poem, it says we're a land of flood and fire and drought. And we certainly are. And I had lots of drought where I had to sell all my cattle and that sort of thing. But you learn to live with those sort of things, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. The main thing about us, we're a free country. you can more or less say what you like, we are free, and that's something that I really appreciate, you know, I really do.
And with these sounds of the brass band, we come to the end of the show. We heard a lot about European ancestry and how the immigrants have shaped the ideas of can-do, of the fair go, and of the lucky country. We also learned that Australia Day is about barbecues, cold beer, and music, but also about embracing diversity and thinking of the first owners of the land. To experience this, I guess you have to come to this lucky country yourself, and what better time to be here than around Australia Day. Please check out our website, absolutely-intercultural.com, to get more information about this and previous episodes. If you liked the show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Ann Fox in Denmark on the 7th of March. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.